Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. I do sound surprised. I am surprised. I expected to be me, but still, sort of excited. And I'm so glad to be here with you at this moment, at this place, together. It's not so bad.
Sometimes I feel awkward at parties, but this one isn't bad.
I never feel awkward anywhere. Other people should feel awkward around me.
Why is that?
I time travel, so all this is in perspective for me. I think it's hilarious to hear about your troubles picking out a new countertop in light of what's about to happen to you.
Yeah, people would behave differently if they could see part of the future. It really is sobering. I take it for granted because we do so much time traveling, but how does it actually work?
That is if you have enough trinitite.
Ah, that makes sense. And to think, all that science is what it takes to feel comfortable at a party.
Well, it doesn't work for me. I feel a little worn out. I'm gonna go hide in another room for a while.
Suit yourself.
I need to get away. Sometimes parties make me feel fatigued. I get too self-conscious, you know? Makes me anxious. Then I get worn out. I'm gonna go hide in here for a while. I'm gonna listen to a record very quietly. That's what I need. Just go put on a little quiet music. And then I'll feel better. Far from the madding crowd. Let's see. Get this. Oh, that's a little loud. Let's see, where's the volume? Oh, no. Hang on, where's the volume? Ah, too loud. No. What is this? Where is this? It's this butchy, stupid thing.
Hey, do you need your lawn washed?
My, what?
Do you need your lawn washed?
No, I think I'm good.
All right,
thanks.
I am your father, Luke.
I always knew you were a coffee maker from that head shape.
Yeah, you see? You just pour the water in this mouthpiece here, and the coffee comes out of my butt.
Oh, Butchie, that's gross.
Nothing's gross.
Well, I'm going to leave you with your butt coffee and take mine downstairs to watch Always at Sea for a few minutes.
Suit yourself.
I'm going to go down here by myself in the basement and watch my favorite old-timey TV show, Always at Sea. Cup of hot coffee. I love witnessing the adventures of others. I prefer seeing others in peril as a way of confronting difficult truths about my own existence. Sailing on the ship, the captain, the mate, and various other crew, and Mr. Chewy, too. How many years have we been at sea, Mr. Buddhist?
Not years, really.
But aren't we a ghost crew? the skeletonized remains of the men who manned this proud ship before it became broken and lost on the open seas, carried now by the whim of wind and wave, whither the fates may take us, the Spectre crew, the skeleton ship, the lost souls of once proud sailors, our bony fingers still clutching the wheel and the belaying pin, our eye sockets black as pitch, pipes still clenched in our lipless mouths, the velvet coats we wore in strips and tatters.
It has been...
3 days.
3 days, Captain.
Oh, it seems longer. Okay, very well then. We are at sea. This is just temporary, men. Just a journey.
I think our mission is to stay at sea.
Well, that makes no sense. We live out our lives on shore, and then we put them on hold whilst we journey, and then we resume them when we make landfall again.
In this case, sir, this is all there is. Just our lives here at sea.
How do you even go about living your life like that? Getting up each day knowing you are on a journey you won't survive.
I don't know what, is that a rhetorical question, sir? I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, yeah, no, it was a rhetorical question. I was just going to stare into the distance for a while.
Ah. Do you mind if I stare with you?
Do you enjoy biscuits or crackers or salt or the unlimited pleasure that a new car brings?
I do. I enjoy all those things. Man, at sea really makes you think. What if we're just at sea?
I think this is the place.
Ah,
yes.
Let me get that for you. Thank you.
Lovely.
Very nice. Fantastic.
Hope they have my reservation.
Hey, Alice. You ask.
I'm not gonna ask. I don't need it.
I'll ask.
I don't need it that bad, man. Just drop it.
I'll ask. I'm gonna ask this guy.
No, don't say anything. Forget it. It's not a big deal.
I'm gonna ask.
No.
I'm gonna say it's for you.
Just drop it, man.
Sing.
I'm singing on the inside.
Sing.
No.
Sing or you're for hatred.
I'm not for hatred, man. I just don't like to sing in public.
Sing, man. See? See? They're saying sing.
I'm singing on the inside.
Sing.
It's here somewhere.
It better be here somewhere.
Well, I hit it.
You hit it from yourself?
No, I just... Things look a little different.
You lost it.
No, I did not. I just hit it really well.
You lost it. You dug a hole in the ground, you put it in there, you buried it, and you lost it forever.
No, I did not. There was some, like, lichen on a stick. That's how I knew where I was.
Oh, my God, lady.
Just hush.
Oh, for God's sakes.
The kid's upset. Just ignore it.
I can't ignore it. Lady, please.
She's trying.
Well, that's where the kid gets it then. Because the kid's trying. My patience. This is the worst river cruise ever.
Just relax, man.
Winding up again. Was it the baby or the buffet?
What's worse?
I wanted to show you this. I found it in my garden. Do you think it's a backbone?
Let's see.
It's a little bit heavy.
It's some sort of vertebrae or something. It's fossilized, though.
Right.
It's not even bone anymore. It's stone.
And the thing is, right in the backyard with all these things, you could find stuff for a poem. You don't have to go on a trip.
Probably some sort of, maybe it's a whale bone or something like that. I have no idea.
How would a whale bone get in my backyard?
Well, I mean, a long time ago, there was water around here. I mean, this wasn't always land, right? I don't know, maybe it's a, looks too big for a saber-toothed tiger, or maybe it's a, what's the big elephant, mastodon.
Oh, mastodon, okay. Does some kind of poem come to you from this?
Well, not often. I mean, I don't know, that's not how I...
But there's things just in the backyard that can, that you can write about.
Mm-hmm.
That's heavy, isn't that interesting?
It is interesting.
Why are we digging up Mrs. Ledé's backyard?
Because she found fossils in it, and we can make a lot of money from fossils.
But it's her yard.
Yeah, and her million-year-old fossil? Right. When did she buy this place? The 60s? That bone was here long before that.
It just seems we're making a big mess of her lawn, and she loves her lawn, and... We're digging it up to steal things from her?
Look, last year she had me go through this place and remove every weed.
Yeah.
So she obviously wants you to take stuff away from the lawn, or she wouldn't have paid me to take those weeds away.
Your logic is flawless.
It isn't. It's just that people are stupid.
I was being sarcastic.
I wasn't.
Hey, I think I found something.
What is it?
It looks like a skull. But from a hideous creature.
Oh, that's a rotten fiberglass planter.
Oh, I wouldn't make a very good anthropologist.
Although I have done the reverse and accidentally planted something in an actual skull.
That's easy to do.
This way. I'm sure of it.
And now we're in New York City.
Brilliant.
I don't know how this happened. That door led to the outside. I swear there was a guy there, and he said, "Do you want your lawn washed? Do you want your lawn washed?"
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense, man. And this door, it was like a big door on a castle or something. Our side door isn't like that.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
In fact, our side door is a closet door because I didn't know the difference.
The new material actually looks like this.
Hey, give me a quarter. I want to play this one.
What's that one do?
This guy... You put it in there, and he kicks himself in the head repeatedly, to like old-timey music.
Oh, that sounds great.
Give me a quarter. I want to see it. I can't stay awake.
You don't have to stay awake.
Why is the rain so relaxing?
I don't know.
Are we supposed to stay awake?
I don't think so.
Are you sure? Because maybe we fell asleep mountain climbing on Mount Everest and we're in snow and we're actually dying and we're hallucinating that we're sitting in the car. Is the mountain turning?
No. No, it isn't.
Where did the rain go?
I've often thought that there would come a time in my life where I found myself in some circumstance, some place from which there was no exit, there was no leaving, and I wasn't in any imminent danger, threat of death, and so that place would become where I now lived. Friends, let me tell you about my entire life philosophy. My entire philosophy of speaking to you on the radio. I can sum it up perfectly because I've thought about it for a very long time. It seems to me that human beings often find themselves in this position. They are trapped somewhere with others, like in a mine, a collapsed mine. They're just in there 1 minute, minding their own business. The next minute, they cannot leave. Or they're trapped in a room, or they're trapped in an elevator, and they cannot escape. And it's not clear whether they ever will. And they know they have to depend on each other somehow, and they're not sure what the rules are for interacting. And that seems to me to be a perfect metaphor for life. You are trapped somewhere. You're not sure where it is. You're not sure how you got there. There's other people here. Go. That's it. Figure it out. And you know, no matter how long someone survives, no one survives all of it. So there's almost no escaping. And yet, here you live. Here we live. That, my friends, is how I approach life. It's like there's lots of movies like that, too. You can see it everywhere. People recognize that metaphor. So there's movies like Exterminating Poseidon Angel, where Shelley Winters has to eat that sheep because they're trapped in the Mexican dining ship or something to that effect. But it's been used over and over. We recognize that we're all trapped together somewhere in some room with one another. What are we going to do? And I thought about it for a long time. If I was trapped in an elevator with someone, or a room, we didn't know how to get out, what would be my role? How would I approach my fellow human beings? What could I do to help? And I thought, anecdotes. I will tell amusing anecdotes, because who doesn't want to hear an amusing anecdote as they're suffocating to death, right? Say, somebody tell me a story, because the air's running out in here, and we have no sewerage system. Did I say it right? I like to put an extra R in there because I know some people do, and I don't want to be an outsider. Oh, my friends, what can I do to make this more comfortable for you? I can't get you a pillow, but I can bring you a pillow. No, that's not right. I can't bring you a pillow, but I can be a pillow for you, and I can see immediately that I said that disgusts you. No, you don't have to. I'm just saying it depends how sick you are. If you're sick enough, then my calf or something is going to be an adequate pillow. You say, that's pillow enough, because I fear that this is the end. Or you're just very selfish and say, I want to use another human being as a piece of furniture. Go get into the shape of a table. Make your spine flatter. I can't. Well, there you go. How about Susan? She's lazy. Get her to come over here. And actually, she's not at all. She can spin around very smoothly and athletically. Are you doing all right so far? I just see you sit there in the corner and you got your arms around your knees and you're rocking back and forth and you're saying, we're doomed. And I acknowledge that you're doing that, but I was thinking, do you want to play cards? Because I smuggled some in here. It's not that I knew that we would be abandoned or we knew that we would be trapped, but I always have things in case we are. I think of, they say the scouts think like that. Say the scouts, Boy Scouts are taught, always expect the worst, like really bad, so bad that you're going to need some sort of tool that does 500 things, because that's how complicated the situation you're going to be in is. So you got to get out of the situation. What are you going to do? First, you got to punch a tiny hole through something. Punch it through. Okay, put the magic ant through the tiny hole. Put the tiny hole. All right, now open the magic wine bottle. How am I going to do that? There's a corkscrew on your tool. Oh, okay. And you open that up. All right, now whittle. What? Whittle a spoon. All right, well, good thing I got this. Open the can. And you can do all that, and you can fulfill some sort of mission then, but you have to expect not only the worst, but the most surreal. So what strange thing would I be called on to do? You know, I will spare your life if you can pick your teeth. Oh, I have a plastic toothpick on my knife. Well, there you go. See, it's a contingency for everything. I often travel like that. If I'm not, plane travel discourages it. You're not allowed to bring a lot of tools. Any useful tool can't be brought on a plane. So when I travel by car, though, oh, I have all sorts of things, lock picking sets and all sorts of not throwing knives. I don't know why I need them, but nothing for violence or anything. Just, you know, there's situations that come up. Like I've had that before where you're negotiating with a carnival worker and they're going, if you have a nice set of throwing knives, and I go, ah, blah, 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 I do. How about that? Now how much would you pay? And they said, I just said, okay, I'll give you the throwing knives and then you give me this old circus that's down on its luck. There's no animals, though. I don't want an animal type of circus. No, 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 none of that. There's no people or anything. It's the most non-exploitive circus you can imagine. There's nothing in it. People show up and there's just sort of an energy in the air. All right. And sometimes we talk. Ah, that's where I bought. People come to see me live or something and say, Hardy, what is this act you do? I go, well, it's a small circus that I purchased and I just fired everybody. And now I'm just doing it a different way. So I'm a sort of a ringmaster, but there's nothing going on and I'm not even describing anything going on like that. I hope that's all right. Say, oh, do you just like the sound of your own voice? Is that bad? Is that bad? Because I know I've heard it said in a derogatory way, that person loves the sound of their own voice. Uh-oh. Because I do. I don't like the sound of my words all the time, but I do like the sound, like I'll sit around by myself and I'll go, and I'll just play with it. I'll play with my voice. People don't as adults. Why? I don't know. I think they do secretly. But it's strange. I mean, you have this magnificent thing, this voice, this sacred harp, this thing that it can make all sorts. I don't know if you've seen the fellow on TV that can do, not only can do Led Zeppelin guitar or Dripping Water or something like that, or somebody yelling far away or dogs or anything. His name will come to me, but I'm not going to, but then I won't say it. And you can do all these things with the human voice. You can do Benny Shriver or whatever the voices people do. Are you? With the impressionists and all. And I love seeing impressionists where I don't know any of the celebrities or the voices. That's my favorite. I wish I could. That's the most surreal, beautiful experience you can have. You go to see an impressionist and they're doing full, and you don't know who any of them are. And I've experienced that. You can, now that we have the internet, you can do that. And I go, man, this is fantastic. I can hear they're all distinctive voices, but I don't know who they are. Don't sound familiar. I want to see people just doing, post videos of themselves doing impressions of people at work, at their workplace. Oh, this is, I'm Big Tony. Oh, my friends, I hope you don't feel trapped. Oh, you're making me feel trapped. I understand what you say now, Hardy, about life being you're trapped in some kind of room with other people and you can't escape and there's no escape. Well, there isn't. I mean, there is and there isn't. You know, you sort of sometimes life switches gears and you think, well, I live on that big house on the hill, but then something happens and all of a sudden your life goes off on a tangent and you never see that big house on the hill again, but you keep living. It's a very strange thing. You know, the most permanent place there is just sort of your head, and even that disappears. So everywhere you are, you're sort of in transition, aren't you? Not here permanently. It's very strange to me. You get at home. That's why we have myths about, I don't know if they're myths, could be real, about ghosts and everything. Say, oh, that old lady loved that house so much. Very materialistic. Very. So materialistic that in death, her materialism somehow caused her being, her energy or something, to coagulate. I hear where you're going. And form, her original form, I hear you, including a petticoat. Mm-hmm. And then stay in this house that she always loved. Well, sometimes they're just a mist. They are. They mist the house. No, no, no. I mean, like a mist. They're like a vapor. Oh, yes, vapor. Vapor people. And they will come and live in your house, too. See, these vapor people living in my house. Are they making, they're making some sort of experimental music. I know.
But I don't know about that. Whether you got so attached to space, I could see how it's possible. You start mistaking that for your life. When your life is this thing at large. Oh, my goodness. And your ancestors lived in some ways. Some of them, can you imagine being born on a ship and never leaving it? Your life can be short, too, you know. Can be long or short. All sorts of lives. I love Mr. Rogers, but he, you know, and he would confront difficult things. Like sometimes I don't know if he did a show on dying young, but it feels like he did. Say, oh, well, you know, it's sad, but it happens. And maybe he did one on dying old. You know, old people die too. Is that right? I didn't know that for a long time. I experienced front loaded with young deaths, and you go, oh, old people also die. Yes, it's very strange. Life doesn't always come at you in order. Oh, but we're sitting in this tiny room or this elevator. That's why I opt sometimes to hold. Say, how long can you hold your gas? And I don't mean literally. I mean metaphorically. How long can you hold that in? So you have your own needs. I know. I recognize I'm in an elevator. You recognize you have intestinal gas, but you're also in an elevator. You have to balance it. Balance it. How much discomfort can I tolerate? And how much discomfort am I willing to inflict? Right? So you got to say, I don't want to totally hold in my intestinal gas in this elevator that we're trapped in, right? Because I don't want to make myself sick or get in so much pain that I can't cope. But on the other hand, I don't want to just, you know, for my own comfort, make you nauseous. And how many times have we done that for our own comfort? Made others physically ill. I don't know. I don't either. I can't think of any. Did you ever poison some town folks because your cult wants to win an election or something? I saw that on a TV recently. I have not done that, so I feel a little bit better about myself. Sometimes I'm glad that my influence doesn't stretch out, that I don't have a lot of power, that I can't talk people into doing anything particular. I can't even talk people into doing things that I hire them to do. Could you pick up some sticks in my lawn? Yeah, sure. Are you going to do it? Yeah. So I don't, you know, my influence is not vast. Oh, my goodness, I realize that. But what can I influence? I can influence myself a little bit, just a little bit. And even then, I'm not sure that I'm really having much sway over myself. I try to open my eyes and realize where I am and the circumstances that we find ourselves in and that I have a responsibility to you and to myself. Oh, yes, to myself as well. If I know that something is hurting me, I must stop. Just if I found out something was hurting you, I must stop doing it. So if I found out I was hurting you, I would stop doing that. But if I find out I'm hurting myself, sometimes I'll tolerate that and say, oh, it's okay to hurt myself because it's myself. But it's morally just about the same thing. You know, I don't believe that you don't have to hurt yourself. I mean, if you want to, then I guess that's cool. But I don't see how that's any different than hurting somebody else. And that seems not cool. And what if somebody loves you? Oh, it's very, but I'm me. I know I'm also you and me. And no, I'm me. I don't know who I am. I'm speaking to myself right now. So for me, it's a strange conversation. You're insinuating yourself into it and say, Hardy, you're not speaking for me. Well, I don't know who you are right at this second. So I'm not sure if I am or I'm not. You know what I'm saying? Am I speaking for myself? I am not sure. Is it me who is speaking? I think so. I think it could be. I guess I could be a puppet. I was very attracted to puppets as a kid. That came out really wrong. That's not what I meant. I meant I really was fascinated by them. And I had lots of puppets. I had a couple, not proper ventriloquist dummies, but the kind that they used to sell. There was kind of a commercial version of Charlie McCarthy that they used to sell to children. And it wasn't a proper one because you couldn't move the eyes. You know, a real ventriloquist dummy, you can move the eyes and everything. But these had fixed eyes, and I think that made it even worse. It can help me close my eyes. Had no eyelids. It had no ability to avert its gaze, and so it was forced to watch me in bed every night. It would sit in a little child's chair I had in my room, this Charlie McCarthy dummy. And it would sit there, and I think I took the monocle out. It had
came with a monocle. And if you took the monocle out, then it left two slits, two scars above and below the eye where the monocle would fit in. It would snap in there. When you remove them, it looked like he had two sinister cuts over and under his eye, like somebody was trying to gouge his eye out and failed. And he would stare at me at night like that, "I see you," or however he talked, I don't know. Edgar Bergen was dead by then. And that used to scare me, too. I thought, is Edgar Bergen going to think that this is his Charlie McCarthy, and he'll be floating around the dentosphere, and he'll fly by, and he'll go, "There's my Charlie. I'm going to get in him and speak, blah, blah, blah," like that. And I feared that. And I thought, I need to get a decoy Mortimer Snurd and put that, like, in my grandparents' bedroom, maybe hide it. Because I think they could tolerate Edgar Bergen's ghost. He might not have been dead at the time, now that I'm thinking about it. This might have been a recent plan I had. I don't still have a Charlie McCarthy dummy. I'm still solving problems from my youth. Now that I'm an adult, now that there are things that I'm no longer concerned with, I have moved on. I don't live in that room anymore. I don't have that child's toy anymore, yet I'm still making plans how to cope with it. How many times have we moved on from a place we used to live? We're living somewhere new now, but we haven't come to terms with that. We're still living in that past. Oh, looking back, looking in that mirror in front of us, we can see the past, but the mirror is blocking the future. Let's look ahead. Why don't you want to look ahead? I understand that because it's scary. Because in the distance, you can see that. What does it say? It's a little sign says, it looks like O'Brien. O'Brien is in the distance. And as wait, I'm getting closer. It's Oblivion. It says Oblivion. I'm sorry. O'Brien. I thought O'Brien was up there. Maybe he is too. Because he's probably on the edge of oblivion. Knowing O'Brien, bless him, he's up there. I'm sure he is. Hey, this room isn't enough? See, I don't want to be trapped in a room for eternity. Oh, it's not for eternity. We're all going to perish. I don't want to be my whole life just be trapped in this thing with other people I don't know and may never. Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to bring that up at the next meeting. But right now, that's where we are. And what can we make of it? It can be horrid, or it can be tolerable. Can it be great? It can be tolerable. Can it be wonderful and joyous? On the whole, maybe, when if you add everything, possibly, if you add everything up, yes, there's going to be a little joy in there and other stuff. And on the whole, it's like saying, will the cake turn out sweet? I don't know. It's the balance of sugar to sour or whatever. We'll see. We'll see if it is. It's hard to know as it goes along. We hope. That's why we keep making the sweet stuff. I keep making this. Oh, I can't have any of the sweet stuff. The doctor says, cut down on the sweet stuff. I go, if you're talking about joy, doctor. And she goes, you know I'm not. Well, listen. Okay. I will. I don't want to be indulgent. I don't want to hurt myself. What if others need me for something? What if I'm needed? I could be. I would love to be needed, like when you're at the masseuse and they need you with a K. What's that mean? I mean, the word is different. Oh, I want to be needed, but I also want to be touched, too, occasionally. And I realize that it's good to pay someone to do that, like a massage or something. It's great to have every once in a while. Or a doctor. See, I'll make up things with the doctor to get them to, like, I'll say, my scalp feels weird when it's massaged. And then they'll do it. That's all you have to say to a doctor is you go, you know, my back feels odd when it's scratched for like 10 minutes. And then try to get them to do it. If they're a good diagnostician, they'll fall for it and they'll do it. My you know what hurts is like when I move this Saturday when I move, I'm going to move all my furniture. It's just 3 blocks to a different apartment, but I still got to transport it in something. When I borrow your truck and we all move it, it hurts. Doctor? Doctor, I don't have time for that. That's why you have to hire someone to help you move or have another friend who's got some time. And your friend says, I'll help you. I go, the fellow that talks too much. Oh, well, I mean, you know, that's the price. And you have to give me pizza. All right, I'll pay you to talk too much and move my stuff with pizza. It's a deal. Oh, my friends, what are you going to pay me with? You don't have to pay me with pizza or anything. Oh, my goodness, no. Just let me help you move. I'd just like to be with you. So just helping me move, why not? That's the things we do in life. Life constitutes helping people move and cleaning up the sewage in their basement when there's a leak or something like that. Helping them out, that's what it is. That's what life is. Bumping into somebody on the sidewalk when you're taking a walk and see somebody you haven't seen in a long time and just talk for maybe 5 or 10 minutes and catching up a little bit, reconnecting. Oh, that's beautiful to me. That's beautiful to me. Keep your eyes open. You can see that you're living when you thought you weren't living. You're living when you thought you were just between living. You're living when you're traveling. You're living at sea. You are at sea. You're on the ship. The ship might not get anywhere. You're already there. You're already there. Even if you're sitting on a subway, even if you're sitting on the train, even if you're sitting on the plane, you're saying, well, the real fun starts in San Francisco. No, my friend, it starts on the plane right now. This could be the last half hour of your life. And if you don't read all of that in-flight magazine article about decanters, you will be sorry. Boom, boom, boom. Does joy that you get at the end, is it any less great than joy that you get at the beginning? Boom, 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 boom. Is a sweet peach that you eat when you're 10 years old, is that better than the one you have at 90 right before you die? Does a memory of something make it better? So you go, well, that memory of the peach lasted, 80 years. Therefore, that experience was better than this experience. And they could be identical. So our memories sometimes prevent us from seeing things accurately because we give too much importance to the peach that we ate at 10 and not enough importance to the peach we eat at 90. Hi, I'm Hardy White, and welcome to my seminar on how to get enough confidence to borrow more money than you have and buy real estate. Now, first thing people ask me, how can I make a lot of money? First of all, you got to be willing to lose other people money. And if you're not willing to take the risk of having other people lose all their money and then not feeling bad about it, then perhaps this is not the business for you to get into. So, are you steely enough to make that ultimate sacrifice of destroying others' lives? Oh, no, you don't have to do that to get success. Real success can be made with just moderate amount of stealing. So I'm just going to steal a little, and I'm going to leave you enough. Oh, thank you. Because when I go and I hit your vineyards and I take your grapes or anything, I leave you like 80% of them. Oh, thank you. And that's out of love. Thank you. I hope I don't take too much from you. Only your time. But my time's more precious than anything you just said. Oh, I'm sorry. Here, we'll share it. No, but it's mine. All right, you go ahead and take it. Can I watch you? Can I watch you use your time, at least? I'd watch mine, but sometimes it's uninteresting. I feel like yours is more interesting. No. Oh, is your life not interesting? I worried about that once, and then then my life got a little bit interesting, and I went, wow, not for me. That's not for me. I think if I had my life to choose, if I was choosing them out of a catalog, if we chose a life like we choose carpeting, and they was bring you a big book of carpeting, and it's not a whole life, it's just a 1 by 1 foot square of life, so you can see, well, that's nice, so you can start to see the pattern. That's what it's for. That's what the carpet sample is for. If it was very small, it might not be large enough for you to see the actual pattern that's going to be there on your floor. So I want to see a good chunk of it so I can see what the pattern's going to be. All right, well, here you go. And I could look through those and I could say, I like this one. Which life have you picked? I picked the life that has, I know you're going to make fun of me because it's sort of out of fashion, but it's the bi-level, kind of the sculpted. It's not real shaggy, right? But there's definitely a sculpted quality to it. It's Berber length, right? But then there's an even shorter kind of sculpted thing. I think I want that one. Are you sure? Yes. Now, something you should know is that it's not, it's scotch guarded, sort of, yes, but it does stain. All right, I'm going to think about it a little more. We're still toying with the idea of hardwood floors on our life. And then, we'd have to know what kind of finish. What kind of finish do you want on your life? How do you want to see it come to an end? If you could predict it, could you? Yes, no, I don't know. Oh, my friends, it's all happening to us at once. I don't know what to do. Hardy White, sit here and hold my hand. I will. That's no problem, as long as we're going through it together. I don't travel very well alone. I don't like to travel alone. Sometimes it scares me and everything. But I'll tell you something that's so terrifying to me alone. When I'm with somebody, I love it. Because it's you and me. We're together. Doesn't matter where we are. We could be here for eternity, because what matters is we're together and we're interacting and we're experiencing things. And I don't want to always be in the same place. And it's okay if things move on and things change and the sights change and the sounds change. Or it's okay if I'm sort of trapped here and we live here now. I'm with you. And that's what makes it better. I don't think I am anything outside of my juxtaposition with you, you know? I'm like a color. I'm like yellow or red or something. It's a meaningless. And to be red in a universe of red, into an endless sea of red, is pointless. To be red on the side of a let's say, a Wonder Bread bag, yeah? Then you're something special. And so is yellow and green and everything and all the other dots. But when it's just you and nothing, everything is the same, that's no good. That's no good. To be something against something else, that's wonderful. Together. Oh, that's when we're something. Literally, that is only when we're something. Because of biology. I won't go into that, but I'm glad we're made of the same stuff. Aren't you? What are we made of? You don't want to know. Stuff. It's stuff. Yeah, what? It's gross. It's gross in a way. I know that. I know it's gross. Our beings, our actual bodies and everything are sort of disgusting. They're beautiful, Hardy. Okay, you can say that. And they are, like, in theory. But really, you know, there's a lot that's horrifying to me. And that is actually makes it better in a way. I look at everybody, I say, we're all sharing this condition. All of you are ugly bags of mostly water, as they said on Star Trek. All of you are bags of guts. All of you are head hair, body hair, nails, teeth, and skin. All of you are outward appearance, a dead thing. All of you are rotten in a wonderful way. All of you are temporarily alive. All of you are beautiful like a flower. Beautiful like a magnolia flower. See those magnolia flowers bloom. They bloom in this big dramatic way, like they're a giant gardenia. Like they're a gardenia the size of a gibbon's head. Or larger. Gorgeous. And then they fall to the ground. The big white petals. They fall to the ground. Heavy. Filled with water and other things. And then, disconnected from their source, from their tree, they begin to rot. And when they rot, they look worse than they did. So much worse. Not just not a flower, but some kind of gross, rotten, brown stuff on the ground. Same with camellias. Oh, yes. It's the same stuff. Transformed. At a different place. No longer living. Oh, that little spark of life was just that, a moment, an instant to be cherished. Can't be preserved. But look, but wait. You need more bonus. Look, up at the tree, though, there's more flowers. They're just a different flower. Oh, it's shifted. It's shifted. That's beautiful. So one thing goes away, another might appear somewhere else. I got to be on the lookout. I got to start looking around because I was fixated on that one flower. And then when that one flower fell to the ground, I started looking at it and becoming sad that it was starting to rot. And I forgot to look up. I forgot there were more flowers coming. I forgot there were more flowers on that tree. And when that tree is done, there's another tree. And on that tree, there's a different kind of flower. What is that? It's a tulip poplar. A tulip poplar? We just call those a poplar. Yeah, but it's not a true poplar. It's more like a tulip poplar. Tulip poplar is more closely related to a magnolia. I did not know that. It's true. Look, okay, they don't look alike. No, they look nothing alike. Isn't that amazing? Because that's not always how it works. because genetically they might be similar, but their appearances might not be. So, where are you going with that? I thought I'd go to school and shop it around, see if I could teach it. I'm going to do that as my demonstration lecture. What I do is I hire myself out as a substitute teacher for things. Then I will deliver like a philosophy lecture. And I'll say, hey, you know, you want to think about hiring me back permanently? And they'll say, well, you know, we're a nursery school. And so with a lot of that would be not age appropriate. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I say, well, answer me this. What, by not teaching four-year-olds about utilitarianism, do you think that's a good thing? And they'll know, and they'll often, they won't even know what to say.
I do like speaking to classes, though. A lot of times I'm invited to speak to very young people, and I'll say, hello, everybody. I'll say, how many of y'all know what a firefighter does? Put your hand up. And they'll put their hand up, and I'll say, I'm on radio. And they'll just all look at me like that for a second. And then in that second, I will have absolutely introduced them to the most important fundamental aspect of my life's work, and that is slightly confusing people for just long enough for me to get to the end of the presentation. Thank you all for listening, and I thank your teacher, Ms. Miller, too, for y'all have been great. No questions today, all right, because I'm not hearing so well, and I don't want to confuse the question and accidentally give you an answer for poison, and that would be terrible. So thanks, kids, for inviting me. I hope y'all have a good career day, and just remember, if you do want to go into radio, go ahead and do that. I would advise you, though, to get an advanced degree in radio, like maybe even a doctoral, I don't know what they call them, and I don't know what department that's in. You might try communications, but that doesn't seem quite right. I'll tell you what, it depends what you're going to do. If you're going to be strictly a DJ and play records, I would say philosophy, PhD in philosophy. If you're going to have like a comment show, I'd say just, I don't know, like a master's in something, one of the hard sciences. But that's about it. Everything, some things you can be self-taught to do, like run an entire corporation, like a big media corporation. I don't think there is a degree for that. I think you just do it. It isn't like speaking on the radio or something where you have to study for years and years and years. I had to not only go to school for tens of years to learn how to be on the radio, but then there's an apprenticeship with a master that takes, I don't know, mine took eight years, all right? But it can take much longer than that. And then even then you think, I can't possibly be ready. And then a lot of people, at that point, a lot of people are advanced, are like 80 or 90, and they just drop dead before they even get on the radio. So not even a lot of people don't even make it there. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? And what you hear are the untrained ones, the ones that aren't going on the traditional path. So that person didn't have a master. They weren't at that radio dojo every single morning practicing things, practicing dynamics, making their voices very quiet, calming their voice down, making it resonant. All right. Or if need be, pulling back a little bit on things. Do you understand what I'm saying? And but oh, pulling back, on forward, and all that, it hurts your neck, and your mouth gets all dried out, and your brains, you start running out of things to say. You say, how am I ever going to communicate with people on the radio? I have nothing to say, and that's when they hit you with a ruler on the back of the head. And that is symbolic, and that is a way of saying, listen, what are you waiting for? Why would you wait 80 years to go do something? You don't get that much time. Quick study, and then learn the rest as you go along. But get doing it right away. Jump in right now. Jump into life. I am ready to go. I don't have everything I need to be an artist. I don't have everything I need to be a licensed realtor. Well, get, you know, hurry up. hurry up. We're leaving in like 5 minutes. We're leaving in 5 minutes and you don't have your real estate license. Just give me a minute. It's not. We're leaving in 5 minutes. You have to study for weeks for that. I've had lots of friends take it and they failed. Just give me a minute. You have to be not only a licensed realtor within 5 minutes, you have to be a broker. And I think that takes a lot longer. So I don't even know how this is going to happen. I'm getting my shoes now. Well, hurry up. I don't mean to rush you. Let's slow down. I think people hurry up too much. You get all the... I thought you said life was short. It is. But a lot of it drags. So, and if you start treating it like it's short, then you're going to be... That's going to be nerve-wracking, right? So I got to get all this stuff done. Nah. Life's short. That can go both ways. You say, life is short. I got to get a bunch of stuff done. Or you say, oh, life is short. I don't have time to get anything done. Yeah, it's just, I'll just chill or something. You got to do it. That's what we're exploring together, friends. I'm not giving you any recipe. No, no, no. But it's a cooking school. Indeed. This cooking school is about looking for your own recipe, reminding you that you need to go get a recipe, reminding you that you need to go get cooking skills, reminding you that you need to cook a meal. That's all. That's all a cooking school really should be, is something to tell you how to tell yourself how to cook and to go do it and remind you to cook and to remind you to eat. Oh, and to remind you that sometimes you need your hand held and sometimes you need a little company and sometimes you need that person sitting next to you in the subway car on which you are trapped because there's been some sort of emergency and now your lives are forever locked together. Your fates are intertwined just like macrame, just like they're a macrame plant holder and it's holding that beautiful, what is it, a spathiphyllum? It's a rhododendron. It's not a rhododendron. What do you call those? Philodendron. It's holding a philodendron. Yeah. What is? The macrame. What macrame? The macrame of our lives that are woven together. And in some of those weaves, there are big wooden beads. And from the beads emanate strings, single strands that aren't woven, that will hold on to the edges of the pot, the edges of the philodendron. As it grows, and it grows ever bigger because every morning it's nourished by a vitamin tablet that a child shoves into the soil because it doesn't want to take its vitamin every morning with breakfast. And so it sticks it into the soil of the philodendron, and the philodendron becomes massive and grows from the nourishment that these vitamins that are shaped like now outdated cartoon characters provide the plant. And so, my friends, our time in your classroom here ends today. And you're excited because you got out of your math quiz, but you thought you were going to watch a film strip. So it's a bit of a letdown. Bing! That's, what is that, Slurpees? That was supposed to be a film strip sound effect? That's no good. That sounded like you were slurping up something. Yes, film strips used to be liquid in our day. And that's how we'd... No, I don't think that doesn't make any sense at all. Stuff was... Look, have you never been to a show? Let's say it's a psychedelic kind of hippie rock and roll show. And somebody's got an overhead projector. And on that projector, they will put some kind of clear plastic petri dish thing. And in it is oil and water with colored water and oil mixed. You following me? And then they kind of whoosh it around on the overhead projector. And the overhead projector is aimed at the band on stage playing trippy stuff, right? And then on top of it is this colorful liquid that's being projected. So when I said liquid film strip and you were like, oh, you didn't stop for 2 seconds and think, well, maybe he was confusing it with some sort of, you know, acid-fueled concert and not a children's class, educational class. All right? So, any of you have questions?
What's it take to be a fighter?
Lots of training and everything. Physical conditioning and training. And then I think you just, I don't know whether you apply with a city or county. I'm sure you could find that stuff online. Any other questions?
Yes. Should you take modern languages in college?
I think it's required for a lot of things. I think mostly there's at least one modern language, foreign modern language required. But I would take more than one if you can, if you have a facility. Even if you don't, and don't be afraid to take an ancient language. A lot of people say, "Why do I need Hebrew or Latin?" Because I'm going to be is clergy. So yes, but you know, here that's funny you should say that, because that might come in handy. So always consider that. But I'm not here to advise you on individual classes, y'all. But these are great questions. Anybody else? This fellow over here.
Yes, I'd like to be an astronaut. How do you become an astronaut?
I don't know that we have those anymore. I think most of it's become mechanized now, or we send up animals. We'll send up a dog or a monkey or something. Not a monkey, a chimpanzee. Monkey. That's just cruel. Monkey doesn't know. Chimpanzee deserves it. So I think we're doing that mainly now. We might be still have astronauts. I don't know. I don't want to discourage you. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of kids will come to me with these things they want to be that they'll see in books. They'll say, "I want to be Mowgli from Jungle Book." And I'll say, "Okay. It's not Mowgli?" They go, "I don't know. I didn't see the movie. I just read it." "Okay, Mowgli. It's certainly spelled Mowgli. I would like to be that." All right. I don't know that that's a profession. And I don't want to discourage children, right? And I want them to use their imagination. And you say you can be anything you want. And even though that's a lie, it's good to sort of think about it for a while. And then, but you got to disabuse them at just the right moment in their life, right? I think between undergraduate and graduate school is where you should tell someone you can't be anything you want. I think you do that. It's implicit in your being turned down from graduate school. That might be, it's like, "Oh, okay. I'm getting the message loud and clear, graduate admissions office. I am not physician material. I'm inclined to agree with you. In fact, I think it's good. I'm glad you're not giving me an MD. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm glad I'm not an air traffic controller. I'm glad I'm not a surgeon. I'm glad I'm not your lawyer. I'm glad I'm not a judge. I'm glad I'm not your lawn guy. That seems like an awful lot of pressure. What if you're having a party and I forget to come by and the lawn's shaggy and I don't want to do that to people. But on the radio, it's impossible to do any harm or say anything that'll get people to do things that are wrong or misguided. It's a beautiful thing because you can just say whatever you want to say without much thought and to whoever. You don't even know who you're saying it to. And what a beautiful thing that can a lot of, now that I'm thinking about it, that just seems so frightening. But I have confidence that what I'm going to put out in this microphone is my love for you, my fellow human being, my fellow creature, my sibling, that we're in it together. And I recognize that we're both trapped here. Where are we trapped? We're trapped in a sort of miracle nutrition, which is what you're listening to. And you're listening to it on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, and online worldwide on WFMU.org. That's what you're listening. That's where we are. That's where we're trapped together on the radio. What a beautiful thing. I don't feel trapped. Thank you. I'm going to take that as a compliment, because I don't feel trapped in your presence either. I feel like we're getting to do this, like we're allowed to be on this wonderful journey, that we're at sea, and it's marvelous, and it's an adventure, and we're together, and we're at sea.